This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
Thank you very much, Evan. It's a great pleasure to be with Marjorie and with you this afternoon. I will be brief, and what I'll be doing will be a sort of writing through Marjorie's poetry. I told her that I love the way this book manages to be a reading of her own poetry up to now, or up to 2000. And one of my problems facing Marjorie, we met a long time ago in Dijon, and I remember I translated a few of her poems into French, and I realized that translating would have been an interesting mode here, but of course it would have been in French and maybe not so easy for you to follow. And so I decided, rather than paraphrase or comment on, to annotate in the random order of the alphabet, which I think is the only randomness that is totally justified. And this is why I'm producing here, and it will be relatively short, and I'll indicate the quotes, there will be lots of quotes, an annotated alphabet for Marjorie Welsh. So A is for atomistic alphabet, abstractly annotated. In spite of Pound's forceful images don'ts that mark the beginning of the new poetics of the 20th century, we have now learned to go not so much in fear of abstraction, which does not imply that we have radically opted for Wallace Stevens' dogma, accepted his injunction, it must be abstract, notes to the supreme fiction. Here, in Marjorie Welsh's work, the supreme key is not fiction or the imagination, but the annotation. I quote, "Placed above the blackboard, the row of cards was a modeled blackboard. I remember Thunberg's thinking through, and when I looked at the letters, I liked the warmth of A near A capital, B lowercase near B capital, daughter near mother," end quote. A is therefore for an alphabet of generation. Only an alphabet can be perennial because it combines the materiality of a substance of paper, ink, flesh, skin, and an abstract but serial principle of paternal cross-references, I quote. Bleak notation for nostrils lower left in regard of that flesh estuary, pressed from pulp and paper for a perennial alphabet of lesser mortals, primarily a thing to be read, you decided. Select the size and face of type in 12-point figure landscape all exile," end quote. Just a little later, the same poem engages with the issue of paternity, I quote. "Adrift is a handkerchief of which the paternity is known, albeit threaded with thorough perplex reference, that blotted tongue, that thoroughly bollocksed signature, perplexing an interiority we cannot substantiate this despite known paternity," end quote. I love the Derridean concept of a, quote, bollocksed signature, end quote, linking disorder, chaos, and the suggestion of paternal balls, we might say. All these networks are necessary if we want to spell out people, places, names, I quote. Alphabetizing the cards, slavishly, the person comes first, in cold blood, spelled out. A in this alphabet of generation would also be for Aaron. Aaron hesitates facing Moses' departure. In Ulysses, there is an old riddle. Where was Moses when the candle blew out? The answer is not just in the dark. In the poem on Moses and Aaron, Marjorie returns to this question of the symbolic father, who can be an artist, perhaps, I quote. Screams, laughter, where there is enigma, or the onset of the nearby discolored now, disinterred many times as they parody ultramarine, the sun, the sun's disappearance. Move what? To where? In italics. Unimaginable, omnipresent, eternal, stay far from us. Then italics. Move what? Italics. Staff, law, serpent, wisdom. To where? Now this God can be imagined. Schoenberg's Moses and Aaron introduces to the scene of heresy, but also to the death of the artist as a divine author. Why ask the artist? Ask the art. This is a quote. Or, we might say, ask, letter A. B. B is for B and B. I'm quoting. What if after A, the alphabet was stuck at letter B? If uppercase B and lowercase B were to replay A Child's Guide to Heidegger's Ontological Difference? Stevens has already pounded on B's clinging to being and the idea that B must be the finale of seeing in The Emperor of Ice Cream, upon to which I will return. I quote, meanwhile, analysis grew and grew in the baby, B and then B and then brr. With performative scratches and eventual socialization, left to right, the roaring wind, the winning vagaries, let us stutter further for a wealth of usage, more analytical when left-handed than E seems in ratiocination, reversing B in time to rest our conceptions. End quote. In the previous poem, preparing for the calculation of the length of an arc, it's less the psychology of the child or baby that interests Marjorie than a guide to B and B's. I quote, revolutionary guidebooks attempting bed and breakfast, which I heard as break-phased, bring exaggerated light. Your bed is the bedroom when empty. I skip a few lines. A specious present, the very craving of which may be B or B. There must be something referred to by such expressions. End quote. C. C is for conversation. There is an art of polite conversation to be deduced from Marjorie Welsh's poetry. It's an art that prefers the negative to the positive, but its many don'ts can help you solve difficult questions of etiquette. For instance, whether to use knives or not when eating peas, or what to say when you want to get married, or again, how to introduce friends whose name is very odd. Semantically, this question is related to that of the bed and breakfast, and socially, of course, this implies different don'ts. I quote, let me introduce dots. Do you know Joe Brainard? If not, why not? He is as finite as bound to time, a small mass of dripping paint. I don't. I don't. I don't. What? Don't touch the wood. Don't touch. Cut. Don't cut the wood. And he's finite and bound to a bed. Speak after me. End quote. In another text, it seems that it is better not to beat around the bush. I quote, young or old? For that, I don't need English. End quote. After he'd published his Tractatus and gone to Cambridge, Wittgenstein discovered that a truth table he had devised to test the logic of scientific or philosophical statements would not work when dealing with everyday language use. Welsh generalizes these insights and reread Shakespeare accordingly. The poem Macbeth in Battle initiates a conversational war. An inkling of dialectic and logic is a prerequisite, I quote. Let's get married. It's all this between quotes. Let's get married. That's force. Not unmarried, she estimated. Redness is whimsical or whitened. I wonder where my wallet is not a question, but an implicit temptation trafficking in interrogation. Adam and Eve encumbered between languages subsisting on values and modernisms. The idea of gray is not a true copy. Don't. End quote. Questioning all questions, these poems seem to conclude by establishing an equivalence between question marks and exclamation marks. Thus, the polite "excuse me" can easily turn into an order to move or make room. "Excuse me." We see this in a number of poems like "or else." Often it boils down to a problem not of content of forms, but of manners. Quote, "What's the manner with you? Ready or not?" Exclamation mark. It's clear that poor Macbeth has lost the battle, but lost to whom? It would be too simple to say to Lady Macbeth, that hag devoured by ambition. No, the answer is simpler. He has lost to the principle of non-contradiction, I quote, using clues. "It is raining, it is not raining. Do not eat knives frozen. Excuse me? Do not eat peas with a knife. Knives. Excuse me?" End quote. Here we see Macbeth, that mad hatter, honing his knives. D is for design. 10 years ago, the walls of the London Tube were full of posters showing pretty women's legs with fancy stockings and a caption. The brand name has designs on your legs. Design belongs to the body as well. Thus, in the poem, "Design with Drawing," we read, I quote, "And slowly, Monet underwent a conversion from wrist to shoulder, and then to the ambit of paint dragged across surface and appeased. Plasticity without an appointment or trace of retinal light." In a remarkable essay on the later Monet, written in 1957, Clement Greenberg, heard him this morning, admits that he had been wrong so far to downplay Monet's influence. Monet had understood at the end of his life, lived quite late in the 20th century, that he could give attention to problems of equivalence without dominance and create a superior unity when the colored surface becomes unmodulated monochrome. That's my annotation. E is for an exit and a bit in exhibit. This ideal gallery, in which we would see Monet next to Cy Twombly and Pollock, is also a burrow, a tunnel. I quote, "I want you to accept a gallery that is also a tunnel. Art, as we know since Beckett, is excavation." I quote, "The exhibit is inconsequential, but we move, trying to taper off gradually. There is, in fact, no need to rush through the show." I quote, and it's within quote, "Mommy, do you want to see me run fast?" "No." "An exit throughout, or a ball around which is not raining in everyday language." End quote. This miracle, the miracle that we can experience, is miserably brief. I quote, "Enter, brief miracle, I have added nothing." F is for French, is for fashion. In The Seasons Change, Wellish meditates on the second axiom offered by Stevens: it must change. She notes that women's bodies often undergo metamorphoses in order to follow the dictates of fashion. I quote, and this would just be a long quote. Crescent shape this season, anatomy stays home, wearing the casual shirt dressing with details you love, the assumption being that your very marrow is disloyal, forgetful material. I skip to that. In Matinee, we have changed, and to the simple inquiry, "Are you wearing silk?" comes the unrehearsed, "No, I'm wearing a modern convenience," mimicking the synthetic memoranda almost without knowing it, impressionable even as each season goes on loving after hope is gone. And this, to conclude, this F refers to the idea of the French. We are in a time in which we sit in a sort of 18th century salon. Quote, "The chairs of 18th century France are set in amusing configuration through the salon. Throughout the salon, the French say amusing, meaning anything." G is for gymnasium or garden. Let us change slightly the French reference and move on to Marguerite Duras with her famous title, "Destroy, she says," and rewrite it as the Lied, she writes, I quote, the Lied gymnasium, the Lied night garden. In the delicate gymnasium of battle, they knelt, as between rooms, where the consequential warrior combed the night, and the night became him, end quote. A deleted garden, a deleted gymnasium, have taken on the same function as Mallarmé's abolished flowers, his aboli bibelot d'inanité sonore. The difference is that the very deletion still contains Mallarmé's abolished objects. H is for hat, I quote. H is for hat. Regrettably, you put it near me. It was as though an unstoppable fact had come between us. How appropriate, therefore, to be literature in a bereft state, unpaginated. Marjorie Welsh might be a poet who mistook her book for a hat. What about a hat rack? It might be a dictionary, as Ford Madox Ford told Pound, get a dictionary and learn the meaning of the words. The poet agrees, I quote, I am talking by definition about it in italics. What is it? Here, it is. I is for is. Whenever we talk about being as a noun, don't we reduce an is to an it? What is? Pound followed Ferdinand Rosa and believed that in nature there were only actions, forces, transactions. But Marjorie Welsh provides an even clearer definition. I quote, the word is consists of three letters, end quote. Why is that? That might mean simply that the word is a joke, like the old Belgian joke, there are three types of people, those who can count and those who cannot. We cannot count to three, we cannot count to two, there is only one. This one, let's call him the emperor or the empress of is. Why is that? This is because maybe there's a missing letter in Welsh. And J is for Joyce's jar in translation. Reading these poems, I was suddenly able to superimpose Joyce's alphabets with Stephen's jar in Tennessee. And I'm going to call just mention these poems and I won't return to them. But I just quote Finnegan's Wake. Stoop, if you are ABCD-minded, to this clay book, what curious of signs, parentheses, please stoop, end of parentheses, in this aleph bed. Can you read, since we and thou had it already, its world? It is the same told of all, many, miscegenations on miscegenations, tickle, they lived, unloved, and loved, and left. In Welsh's poetry, Joyce becomes Welsh or American via Wallace Stevens. And I will skip the section that quotes systematically Stevens' jar in Tennessee. K is for keeps, I quote, finders, keepers, Roman coins in and under talents, we are disturbing the earth to get at them, which I take to be an oblique commentary on the Finnegan's Wake quote I just gave you. There is a wonderful serendipity in Marjorie Welsh's poetry. You cannot see where she has found her ready-mades. You cannot always recognize the objet trouvé. You know that what she has found, she will keep, not in her mind, but in this hard and almost impersonal language. This language is a labyrinth. L is for labyrinth. I quote, a lost center. We lost our center to a short step. Lose center to gutter until the labyrinth is no longer an explanation. Or again, a person believes the labyrinth to be seriously absent, lose center to gutter skeptically. From Yeats's nostalgia for a lost center of European culture that cannot hold facing anarchy, to Derrida's critique of a centrality he discovers still lurking in Lévi-Strauss's notion of a collective unconscious or collective social structures, the labyrinth image reintroduces the labor intus, the work of the inner, the interior arbeit maze, an amazing piece not of mastery, but of self-reflexivity. This arbeit, unhappily, will not make you fry. M is for my missus mind. I quote, anathemata corresponding to gold, my missus mind. Where is rival dumbfoundedness? This my missus will always be warped. The brook is not called Marjorie, for instance. I quote, within this book called Marguerite, the title of a poem, she wonders, I quote, I wonder if the mind will ever stop pursuing rival minds or at last rival murmuring. It is a long sky that convenes this endlessness, end quote. What endlessness is this? Is that the infinite regress of my missus, of my missus, of my missus? N. N is for non-mimetic. The contrary is therefore true. Non-mimesis obtains. One example will suffice from the aptly titled poem Pre-Echo, I quote. Unblinking non-mimetic lakes taped to the cheek, and here physiognomic truth functions in habit, a logically scented and non-specific self vindicated at all four corners, a kind of facial sight. Adrift in such skin, our iteration with which countries cannot vie, transliteration, secretly abetting impenetrable baptism, end quote. O is for object. Where, then, is the object? Is it in or out of the mirror image? The quasi-divine qualities formerly granted to the subject have been, perhaps, given to the object, but it is already too late. I quote, you were omniscient a moment ago. This belatedness, this secondarity can be systematized, I quote, let us effect a moratorium on things. Let us say, an object is not an image, aerodynamically speaking. Ephemera illustrate this. Free fall illustrate this. Scalpel in hand, in an acutely skeptical reading of the snail in size with dotted passivity in tawdriness, the object obsolescent, abject, or gone. When is an object when not an object? End quote. P is for paraphrase, but there is no paraphrase. I quote, and that's the only thing I'll quote. You said, rake, raking, ravel, racing, ravel, a gravelly race, her precursors never knew. You said, paraphrase, at cross purposes to abrasion. R is for restore. In sleepless before sleep, we hear a petitioning voice saying, I quote, restore the same innocence for your friends too. This poem unfolds like a Kafkaian dream sequence, suggesting that indeed no innocence can ever be restored, I quote. This is the liberal dream of all of us. And so the body perpetually responds, assumes the wish of another and grows flushed. The meaning of her existence has already been most adequately expressed, innocent or not. Her dress is caught on something, end quote. In a similar fashion, we are warned against the naivety of believing in restoration, especially when it presupposes that some kind of authenticity can be preserved, I quote. And it's a series of poems in which the second half of each line is in italics, and it's always the same that is repeated. Restoration, italics, can be all boredom and anxiety. Artifice, the only remedy. Restoration botched can be all boredom and anxiety. Plexiglass broadly discussed, the only remedy. Cast among us, there is nothing human alive. The heart, the mind, the soul with them become more apparent, if not elaborate. And finally, to conclude this little pantomime-like sequence, repairing the whole can be all boredom and anxiety. The first and the second death drive out norms in my fate. S is for seasons. By a simple consonantal shift, seasons have replaced reasons. Quote, in an effort to do the wrong thing for the right reasons. It is therefore safer to trust the seasons. I quote, the seasons went. The lives in which we live become insolvent, and they went down slowly, then fast, human and restless. Seasons never cease to amaze us for their versatility and for the full-scale illusionist realism wherein we walk down city streets. End quote. T is for table. In At Table, the word table seems to be generated by suitable, but the menu is a whole program, a program that goes from a political party to a reading list. Quote. Of being suitable or to the right of the fold, extrapolated like this, like that intelligibility of plate fettered to table with program, academe in hand, denoted fork speaking with us transitorily, end quote. U is for usage. In Welsh's poem, we have to find our bearings in this Wittgensteinian notion of language games I've already quoted. There is indeed no truth that would be divorced from usage. Here, meaning is totally use, but use is never abstract or universal. It is linked with everyday practice in a social context in this place we all know relatively well, not so well, and that we might call America. I quote, which consists in touching the recipient's cheek with one's own. In touching the recipient with one's own usage, modern American usage, in which acquires means assent. A little later in the same poem, which consists in touching the recipient's cheek with one's own, in touching the recipient with one's own usage, modern American usage. Usage, acquiesce, meeting dream, on brick, ivy laden, ivy in ideological stranglehold, meaning assent or submit. V is for Vico. In the space of barely indicated hospitality is Vico tasting his forks. And I've noted a number of references to Vico, and here to be a little faster, I'll just say that this is a wonderful idea of Vico, that the evolution of civilization is due to hospitality, and that all important cultures were based on hospitality, and this is how Rome somehow survived across the centuries. I think it's an important commentary on many political issues of the time. And I was interested in seeing this in the poetry. W is for wish. I quote, I wish you a child pulling a pull toy, and all increased, like knives on marble, shove, stab, and fall across the human family who has commands to extinguish itself. Paste shoots to ladders, paste napkins to bells, splash knives on marble, ashes, ashes, for example. End quote. Wish would be synonymous with window, which is why they always flow open. But they flew open once only. I quote, the traveling theater will be your well-being. You are the window for all that sudden reference. When the bus arrives with your window, you will disappear. Good luck. Why is for why. Why do this is not identical with why do you do this. One answer might be because we like literature, because we like poetry. CA for alphabet. And I quote, yet non-contradiction mentions why. Z is for Zenith, Zeno, and Zhukovsky. In one of the poems, there is this allusion to Svevo's conscience or consciousness of Zeno, Zeno grabbing the wrong sister. As we know, in Svevo's novel, there's talk of two sisters. But we can also think of the philosopher Zeno, who was a disciple of Parmenides and who showed that movement does not exist because only the one is. I'll quote this. And for the full-scale illusionist realism wherein we walk down city streets, I have already quoted this, at their zenith, they seem all crossed out, answerable and advancing, curiosity traversing the island. Z might also be Zhukovsky, the author of A. As a whole, reaches its zenith with pure music. And as we know, A24, Zhukovsky, the end of Zhukovsky's poem, is a mask by which the whole text culminates on a musical score by Handel. As Zhukovsky writes, and it is possible in imagination to divorce speech of all graphic elements. Which music do you prefer? Handel's fugues, Paul's violin, or Louis' words on the page? I say simply that in my own French way, I feel we are all sons and daughters of a Zouk, and that shouldn't allow us to forget the popular sense of Zouk being, as you might know, we heard earlier the story of Begin, and I think I'd end with some Zouk. There's a Caribbean music inspired by African dance rhythms with Creole lyrics. You see the idea.
Well, this question was meant to be set to music, but I'll say it. it's a joke, really. X marks what spot? The missing letter.
Absolutely. I forgot it. Yes.
But it's an interesting chiasmus.
Yeah.
You haven't thought about it now?
I think I had an X, but I forgot to. Yeah. But,
I mean, how do you want to spot it?
It's a missing letter.
The missing
letter.
Yeah.
The unknown.
The unknown. That's it. I think the Pauline. Yeah. We had an X. We had an X this morning. So. Yeah. But it's oversight when I copy it. I don't know whether this appeals for any questions, but I'd be happy to answer if you have any question. If not, we can. Yes.
I didn't understand the V.
Vico. V-I-C-O. The Giambattista Vico, this Napolitan philosopher who wrote the Scienza Nuova, the new science, and I know it's also the name of a brand of food products in France, but I think it's more likely the philosopher here. You meant Giambattista Vico, yeah. not the Puree brand, but...
I thought I did until now.
And he has a whole theory of... the cycles, he assumes that all civilizations and cultures follow the same cyclical returns, recalls Storici. And but among the very interesting ideas Vico develops is this idea of hospitality, that all cultures somehow flourish when they invite the Xenos, the other, and that's how Rome somehow was a different... Huh? Yes, could be Xenos, yeah. You're really concerned for my alphabet, you know, it's not bad to be... But so this is an important reference. Any other annotation to my own annotation? Okay, well, then I think this is true. Thank you.